Let's lift our hands before Him. Father, we thank You for this day. And we thank You, Father, for what You're about to do in our lives. As Pastor Carla just had us confess, we will be changed today. And Holy Spirit, I'm calling on You right now. You are the teacher of the church. You know where every person is. You know what every person is dealing with. I don't know, but You do. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to take these next few moments and take my words and speak heaven's words into the heart of every person present, that we will not be the same in Jesus' name. And we thank You for that. And somebody shout amen, amen. And amen. And you may be seated. Glory to God. And of course, I want to introduce my beautiful, wonderful wife. Glory to God. We've been married 46 years. Hallelujah. 4 children, 9 grandchildren, 9 great-grandchildren. And we got our 10th great-grandchildren on the way. 10th great-grandchild, on the way. Darling, would you stand up and turn around and let everybody see you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Bible says when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a woo-hoo, good thing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I got me one. Can you say amen? And then every time I say that, my wife reminds me of the rest of that scripture, and he obtaineth the favor of the Lord. And so I definitely have obtained the favor of God because of my wife's prayers and because of her complete undivided attention to God. And Pastor Carla, that scripture that you shared about setting your affections on God, I remember when that scripture first came alive in our life, mine and Susan's life. And I can tell you, she's had her affection set on God since then. And so have I, but I can tell you right now, her affections are definitely turned to God. Amen? And so, but it gives us a great deal of pleasure, Pastor Carla, Pastor Davies, Tina, and all of you leaders of Victory Faith Church, and all of you members of Victory Faith Church, I want you to know what a joy it is for us to be with you this week, and what a joy it is for us to be with you this morning. We're home when we're here. We haven't been here in 5 years. This is the first time we've been here since COVID. And it's amazing to me. It's overwhelming to us when we come and we see what God has done through the vision that Pastors Wade and Carla had and now still have. And the vision that is continuing to move forward that you have come and become a part of. And when you take hold of a vision that God has given a leader, then there's something that happens in your life. The Bible says, write the vision and make it, and this isn't my sermon, I'm just talking right now. The Bible says, write the vision and make it plain so that they who read it may run with it. And that word run there in the Hebrew is a word which means strong tower. So in other words, it's very important for you to have a vision, but it's vitally important for you to hook up to a God vision with a church, because that vision is a strong tower for you and your family. Can you say amen? And to see what God has done here, every time we come, there's always growth and there's always increase. Whenever you go somewhere and every time you go there, there's growth and increase, then you can rest assured, glory to God, you can rest assured that you have gone into a place that God abides and that God is leading. Not man, not woman, God is. Can you say amen? And so I'm so thrilled to be here with you this morning. And I do believe God has given me a word for today. I believe He's given me a word not just for today, but I believe God has given me a word for this season that the world is in right now. I don't know about you, and I don't know if you understand it or not, but I think you might, how dark the world has gotten. The world has gotten dark. If you watched any of the Olympics, and if you watched any of the beginning, the opening ceremony of the Olympics, you can absolutely see the Word of God manifesting before our eyes. Because we're going to read a scripture in just a moment, very familiar scripture that everyone can quote, but that opening ceremony of the Olympics was the manifested presence of darkness. I said the manifested presence of darkness. Hallelujah. You know, we understand that we can see that darkness covers the earth, but gross darkness to people. I don't know about in Kenya, but in America, gross darkness is covering people, covering leaders. Gross darkness is covering leaders. Gross darkness is covering schools that are trying to educate our children. Gross darkness is covering them. But I'm excited when I see darkness. Hallelujah. Come on, you're going to be excited in a little while. You're not going to be afraid of darkness. You're not going to be running from it. You're going to be plumb excited. Y'all know what plumb excited means? Well, I guess that's a southern term. You might not understand that. You're going to be really excited when you understand what darkness really is all about. But not only that, what happens to us when darkness manifests? Glory to God. So, can you do me a favor? You know, I want to reemphasize something that Pastor David said earlier. And that is, you know, the Bible says when righteous men and women pray, they make tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, when we pray, that power is made available. It's dynamic and it's working. Now, the person that we prayed for or the nation that we are praying for, you know, they may not, you know, we pray, and I want you to see this, we pray and our prayers go ahead. They go ahead. And we're praying for our family, praying for our children, we're praying for our spouses, we're praying for our church, we're praying for our nation, but our prayers have gone ahead. Well, here we have people that are unsaved. Here we have a world that's getting darker. But here's the point. They're going this way. And eventually, they're going to run into our prayers. Glory to God. They're going that way. And eventually, they're going to walk right smack dab up in the middle of tremendous power that's been made available, dynamic, and it's working. And it's going to shake them, and it's going to change them. That's why you got to keep on praying. That's why don't stop just because you don't see a change. Don't stop because you don't see anything happening. Keep praying while you're making tremendous power available. Woo! And Pastor Davies, yesterday when he closed the leadership meeting, he prayed for everyone's safety on the way home. And what happened was when the Ugandan contingency, I don't know how the van turned over, but when it did turn over, they just fell in the arms of his prayer. They just fell right over into it, didn't get hurt, didn't get damaged, and just went right on home. Can you say amen? That's why you don't quit praying. Glory to God. So open your Bibles this morning, if you will, please. Can I come down on the floor? Okay. Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Isaiah chapter 60. I don't even need the podium. I don't. I'm going to hold this in my hand. Can y'all still see me? Yes. Hallelujah, because I want to see you. And thank you, Pastor Davies, for letting us wear these wonderful shirts today. Hallelujah. Is that okay with y'all? Yes. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, and I want us to read it together. Can y'all see the screen? Can y'all see it? You can read it. I'm reading from the New King James Version, but we're going to read verses 1 through 3, and we're going to read it together. Ready? Read. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Woo! Somebody shout hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Glory to God. Now, Isaiah was seeing into the future. Isaiah had already prophesied about the coming of the Lord. He'd already prophesied about Jesus taking care of our healing, Jesus taking care of our sin, Jesus taking care of our salvation, paying the price for it. He'd already prophesied about that. But now he's seeing something. I don't know totally what kind of darkness he saw. I don't know what day he saw. But I can tell you right now, I'm 77 years old. And in my 77 years on this earth, I have never seen it this dark. I've never seen it this dark. I've never seen the darkness manifest. Now, in America, let me share this with you. Pastor Carla, in America, and you can attest to this, Pastor Davies, in America, they call right wrong and wrong right.
That's right.
In America, I almost got myself in trouble. I can't say that. I'm not going, but I will tell you this. Well, I can say it. The left side. The left side of America, the politicians on the left side of America are filled with the darkness of Satan. Now, I don't care what it, y'all can get mad at me. Anybody else can get mad at me. You're going to have to get over it, though, because we want you to go to heaven. You stay mad at me, you ain't going. Hello, hallelujah. But it's darkness, and they're manifesting darkness, and they're trying to shut down the light. But I got a scripture. I said, I got a scripture. Glory to God. I mean, I got a scripture that tells me that when darkness is on the earth and gross darkness is on the people, something coming on me. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. I said, something coming up on me. Hallelujah. And if you're a child of God, you shouldn't be running from darkness. You shouldn't be afraid of it. I mean, you don't get in the midst of it. You know what I mean by not running from it? You know, like Carla said, don't be going down there on Friday night. I'm going down in the middle of darkness and I'm going to shine my light. No, you don't. No. You shine your light through prayer. And then when they come out of there and the next day, you go visit them. Come on now. But look at this. Come on, let's read it again. Glory to God. Look at verse 1. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen up on you. Now, the word arise there means three things in the Hebrew. It means to wake up. And you know what the problem with the body of Christ is? Too many of them are sleeping. Too many of them are, based on what Pastor Carla said just a moment ago, too many of them still have their affections on the things of the earth. Oh, they want to go to heaven, and they'll be glad to go to heaven, and they're praying to go to heaven, and they want to keep their heart right so they can go to heaven, but their affections are not on the things of heaven, their affections are the things of the earth. And that's the group we need to wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. Somebody shout, wake up. It's time for the church to wake up. Can you say amen? Yes. And it says, arise means to wake up. It means to stand up. You got to take a stand. We've taken a stand at our church. We take a stand out in public. We take a stand wherever we go. Hallelujah. My wife and I and our family were eating in a restaurant, and the people next to us, I mean, they were cursing loud. They were using words I hadn't used since I got saved. Hallelujah. I mean, and they were loud. So I decided if they could do that in public, I could praise God out loud in public. So I just started praising God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They got up and left.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Don't let the world shut you down. Rise up. Take a stand. Stand up. Glory to God. See, sometimes we're afraid, we got to get out of here, bunch of heathens. No, there's something up on you. When those heathens are there, there's something up on you. You got to remember that. Can you say amen? But it says wake up. It means stand up, but it means to stir up. I hope I stir you up today. I hope you're stirred up before you leave this building today, that you understand that something, when there's darkness on the earth and gross darkness on the people, that there's something upon you. And I hope I stir you up to recognize that, so that wherever you go, you recognize there's something upon you and you are going to let it be seen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Wake up, stand up, stir up, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, the word light there comes from the Hebrew word, which means to be luminous, to be luminous. It means to be set on fire. Glory to God. Woo! We need some of the body of Christ burning. You know what happens when a fire starts? Somebody might have said this during the training. But whenever there's a fire, I don't know about here, but in America, when there's a fire, people go watch it. They go watch it burn. They don't try to help the people. They go in to see a fire. I'm telling you right now, it's time for the church to get on fire to where the world is coming to see what's causing us to burn. Can you say amen? Amen. But it means to be luminous. It means to be luminous. What luminous means is this, that it has no light of its own. It's just like the moon. The moon is luminous. Where does the moon get its light? From the sun. The moon gets its light from the radiation coming from the sun. Well, how many of you know we don't have a light of our own? Because if we have a light of our own, then we're shining our flesh. We're shining our ego. We're shining our will. We're shining our way. But we need to let the light of God shine in us. We need to be luminous so that we hang around the S-O-N. And when we hang around the S-O-N, we got some light coming up on us. Can you say amen? Now, look at John chapter 8. I know you know the scripture. But before we look at it, let me set this up for you for just a moment. Jesus was teaching in the temple. And as he was teaching in the temple, the religious people brought a woman caught in adultery. Y'all know the story. Brought this woman caught in adultery and threw her down at the feet of Jesus. I've always asked this question. Where was the man? She wasn't committing adultery by herself. Are y'all with me? But she was thrown down at the feet of Jesus. And they said, Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Moses says that we should stone her. What say you? And they were doing that because they didn't care about the woman, number one. They were doing that, you know this, to try to trap Jesus, to try to get something to accuse him of. And of course, we all know what he did. What did he do? He bent over and started writing in the sand. Do you know how many sermons have been preached about what he wrote in the sand? And don't nobody know what he wrote in the sand. I mean, there's people that I preached a sermon on what he wrote in the sand. Hallelujah. But he wrote in the sand, and then he made a powerful statement. His wisdom overcame their law. His wisdom overcame the attack. His wisdom overcame. And he said, all right, here's what we're going to do. Guys, I got it. Here's exactly what we're going to do. You that are without sin, you cast the first stone. And they're all standing there looking at each other. I know you. I know you sin. And they're looking back and saying, well, you better not throw anything either. So what happened? All of a sudden, you hear a bunch of rocks hitting the ground. They let them go. And the Bible says they left one by one, starting with the elders, starting with the older folk. I don't know what old is, but I'm creeping up on it. But starting with the older folk, they dropped and they left. And then Jesus starts writing in the sand again. And they're gone. And then what does he do? He rises. He looks up at this woman. He said, woman, where are your accusers now that condemn you? Are there any still here? She said, none, Lord. And he said this, neither do I. But then he made a powerful statement. Sometimes we don't remember the rest of this statement. He said, go and sin no more. So in other words, he didn't just forgive her. He didn't just show her grace. He was challenging her to get out of the lifestyle that she was in. Are y'all with me? And then he made a powerful statement right after that. Look at verse 12. And then this came right after the grace of God was bestowed upon this woman. Right after the grace of God was shown to this woman. Right after he withstood the midst of darkness with those Sadducees and Pharisees and rulers of the law wanting to trap him. Look at what he said. Then Jesus said, I got some news for all of y'all. I am the light of the world. Hey, what a powerful statement. In the midst of that darkness, the darkness of the world wanted to condemn someone for their sin. And Jesus said, I just want y'all to hear something from me today. In the midst of all of this darkness, I am the light of the world. And I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Look at this now. I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me are those who set their affections above. Those who embrace me will, everybody say will. Do what? Experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. This is a powerful statement, church. A powerful statement. I mean, how many of you know the darkness is there? But we got a sure proof here of keeping us from walking in that darkness. It said, those that embrace me, Jesus said. Those that embrace me. The word embrace there means to take a grasp in the arms. It means to take or receive gladly. I believe the only way I can explain it is this way. Look up at me just a minute. Like I said, we've got 9 grandchildren, because they're all in their 30s and so forth now, but we got 9 great-grandchildren, all right? And whenever we go to Raleigh to see our grandson and his 3 little girls and our other grandson and their little boy, they run up to Susan. I mean, I can be first, and they'll pat me on the leg and go right by me. And why? They go, you know what they call her? Sho-Sho. That's right. I thought y'all might like that. They call her Sho-Sho. They go right by Granddaddy and go right to Sho-Sho. And do you know what? I got to tell you about me. We got another family that's got 4 kids, and they got a little bitty boy. And when he comes to us, he'll go right by Grandma and run right to Granddaddy. Hallelujah. But now here's what happens. How many of you know sometimes we've got stuff in our arms? Sometimes we may have some groceries that are very important, or she may have her purse. She could have her Bible. After church on Sunday, sometimes I got my bag and everything, and my great-grandson will run up to me. Listen to me. So what do I have to do? I have to put down that which is insignificant. Are you hearing me? Because, see, at the moment when I bought the... And I want y'all to hear my explanation. At the moment, Pastor Davis, when I bought the groceries, they were very significant. And very significant in my life and in my family. But when your great-grandchildren runs up to you, they more significant than groceries. So what we gonna do? I can't embrace them. Why? Because I got something that's insignificant. I'm holding on to it. Are y'all hearing me, church? Do you know why many believers today... It's exactly what Pastor Carlo was talking about a moment ago. Do you know why many believers today can't embrace Jesus gladly? They're holding on too much insignificant stuff. Now, none of them come to church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Y'all didn't get that, did you?
We got it.
You got it? So in other words, I'm saying that maybe none of y'all know what y'all is? That's Southern. None of you guys would have anything insignificant. But I wonder, let me ask you a question. Is there anything insignificant that's taking your time and that is keeping you from embracing Jesus? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know some things that people hold on to, and when Jesus shows up, how many of you know you got to get rid of it? Can you say amen? Amen. You got to let it go. Glory to God. Now let's go back to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. I believe it's talking about our day, and I believe it's talking about the fact that there's darkness on the earth and gross darkness upon the people. But when that happens, the church ought to rejoice. Let me hear some church rejoicing. Glory to God. We ought to be rejoicing when we see darkness. We ought to be rejoicing when we see gross darkness up on politicians and gross darkness up on people. Not because it's on them, but whenever we see that, there's something coming up on me. Glory to God. And what I got coming up on me is better than any of the darkness they might have up on them. Can somebody say amen? So let's look at what is up on us. It says, and the glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord will come upon you. Let me give you the definition of three things that the glory represents in the Word of God. Three things that the glory, and when I look up at just a minute, when I talk about glory, I'm not talking about an ethereal feeling that I'm so caught up, I just can't walk. Now, I've had that happen. We've had the glory of God fall in our, matter of fact, two Sundays ago, the glory of God just fell in our congregation, fell in our church. I mean, it was amazing. Matter of fact, the fire of God came through. One of our board members, an elder, said he smelt the smoke. Glory to God. But I'm not talking about, when I'm talking about the glory here, I'm not talking about I'm caught up in the glory. You know, I'm not talking about being so glory-minded, you know, earthly good. I'm talking about something up on you that handles darkness and gross darkness. Can you say amen? Something up on every believer. Hallelujah. Let me give you the three things that glory represents in the Old Covenant, and then we're in the Old Testament, then we're going to talk about them for just a moment. Number one is presence. Number one is presence. The glory of God in the Old Covenant represents the presence of God. I know this is not deep. I know it's not anything you haven't already known. But the glory of God represents the presence of God. And this glory that comes up on the believer when there's darkness on the earth and gross darkness on the people, the glory that is up on us is the presence of God upon us. Woo! Glory to God. And then it means provision. In the Old Covenant, the glory of God is the provision of God. Hallelujah. How many like provision? How many like to be provided for? How many know that when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness covers the people, that there becomes it's a struggle in the natural. In America right now, it's a struggle financially in our nation for most people in America. Most people are struggling desperately, and I think most people all over the world are struggling desperately. But we believers got something. I said, we believers got something that when that struggle is in the world, wait a minute, I'm not of the world. Wait a minute, I got something up on me. And I got something up on me is the presence of God, but I got something up on me is the provision of God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the third thing that glory represents in the Old Testament, that glory represents is promotion. Promotion. See, this is why a believer can get promoted on their job even when they don't have the education to be promoted. This is why a believer can get promoted over a heathen on your job, even though they may have the degrees to do it, or they may even have the experience, but they don't even know why. I got to promote this individual. Do you know why they got to promote you? Because there's promotion up on you. Hallelujah. I said there's promotion up on you. You ought to go to your job next week, and when you walk in, you don't go and say, I just want y'all to know, hey, y'all listen up. There's promotion up on me, so don't you get upset when I get promoted. No, I'm not telling you to do that, but I am telling you to walk in, and don't you ever feel intimidated by another person on your job. Don't you ever feel intimidated by an unbeliever or a heathen, and don't you feel intimidated because you might work for a heathen company. Promotion's on you. Amen. Look at somebody say, I got promotion up on me. Glory to God. So let's talk about the presence of God for just a minute. Let's talk about the presence of God for just a minute. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, we're not going to turn there and look at it, but in 1 Samuel chapter 4, we all know what took place there, and that is we're having a battle with the Philistines. And all of a sudden, the Ark of the Covenant is brought back into Shiloh. And when the Ark of the Covenant comes back into Shiloh, how many, y'all know this, there was a great shout of the people, a great roar of the people, to the place to where it says it shook the earth. Woo! We need to have Sunday morning shouters. Yes. To where it shakes the earth out here. Yes. And everybody riding along the highway or coming down the highway, all of a sudden their car shakes. And they wonder, what in the world was that? I think it was that church back there. Glory to God. Are y'all with me? The Ark of the Covenant. What did the Ark of the Covenant represent? The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. So when we walk into a place where there is darkness, there's going to be some shaking going on. Are y'all hearing me? I'm not going to shake in fear of the darkness. I'm not going to shake and wonder what's going to happen. When I walk in, I'm just going to stand around. I'm not even about to say anything. I'm just going to stand around and watch it. All of a sudden, a little shaking starts to take place. Are y'all with me? So it represents a shaking. But then guess what happened? Y'all know the story. They captured the Ark of the Covenant. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant because they found out that that was the presence and it shook the earth where they were. So they captured it. Y'all know the story, but they captured it. And what did they do? They took it to Ashdod. They took the Ark of the Covenant to Ashdod. And what did they do? They put it in the temple of Dagon. In the temple of Dagon, their God. That was their God. And y'all know what happened the next morning. They come out and they go into the temple of their God, and guess what? He's bowed before the Ark of the Covenant. His head done fell off. And they thought, I wonder what happened. So they don't have a clue. Listen, when people are deceived, they don't know they're deceived. When they're deceived, they don't know they're deceived. If they knew they were deceived, they'd get out of it. And so what happened was they take the head. You know, you got a pretty bad God when you got to put his head back on. Can you say amen? I don't think I'm going to be worshiping him this afternoon. His head fell off this morning. No, they picked his head up and put it back on and left. And the next morning when they came back, not only was his head on the ground, but both hands were on the ground. And it fell across the threshold. And do you know, to this day, they said to this day, they wouldn't even touch the threshold. Why? The presence of God. When the presence of God is upon you and it brings about a change in your life, it will shake the gods of this world. Hallelujah. It'll shake them. And you don't have to go in shouting and tell them it's going to be shaken. Have you ever been anywhere? I know Pastor Carla has, Pastor Davis, Teen, I know Norman, I know my wife and have. We've been somewhere and not know the people there. And they would come up and said, excuse me, there's something different about you. I mean, anybody ever had that happen to them? Yeah, there's something different about you. Well, you know, I'm loud wherever I go. I've tried to be quiet. I've tried to be soft. My wife has tried to make me that way. And we'll be in a restaurant talking and I'll get excited. She said, you're preaching. I said, I know that table in the back needs to hear it. Hallelujah. No, I mean, I've tried to calm down. I can't. You know why? There's something up on me. Glory to God. There's a presence on me. But they'll come up and say, there's just something different about you. Well, it's not our education. It's not our natural ability that's up on us. Y'all know, you know what it is. It's the presence of God. They don't even know how to explain it. And all you got to do then, what an open door to witness. What an open door to share about that light. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So the glory, say the glory of God, is his presence. Upon me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's upon you too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at what the next definition or what glory represents next. And it represents provision. Everybody say provision. It represents provision. And we know the story. Well, I'm going to just tell it to you. We know the story of in Genesis chapter 29 and 30 to where Jacob shows up and he sees Rachel and he falls madly in love with Rachel. He wants to marry Rachel. So he finds out who her daddy is and he goes over to her daddy's tent and he lets her daddy know, hey, I am really smitten with your daughter, Rachel. And I want to marry Rachel. So we all know what Laban did. Laban said, okay, if you're going to marry my daughter Rachel, you're going to have to serve me for 7 years. Now, I'm going to just tell you right now, she must have been some kind of looker. You know what I mean? I would have said, I would have served your daddy 7 years for you. Hallelujah. But I'm really glad I didn't have to, Pastor Davies. You right with me? But he said, you got to serve me for 7 years. And after you serve me for 7 years, I will give you my daughter, Rachel. So can you imagine how excited Jacob was? I mean, well, I don't know how excited that would be, but he started serving Laban for 7 years. You know, the first year goes by and he's just looking at Rachel. Whew, I only got 6 more years, honey. And then you mine, darling, you mine. Then he 2 years, 3 years, you know, and he might have been getting weary on the 4th year, but every time he'd get weary, he'd walk over and look in that tent. No, I got my strength. I can do this. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't think he said thank you, Jesus. But anyway, he saw her again. And then he said, I can make it. I can make it. Then he got to that 7th year. When that 7th year started, don't you know he's counting the days, 364. 363, 362. I only got 361 more days, and then she's mine. And then the day came. He's up there ready to get married. And here comes his bride, all veiled up. He gets married. He doesn't even know he's married to the wrong woman till the next morning. Guys, listen to me. You better lift that veil. I mean, I can't even imagine not recognizing he's not married to the right woman. What did Laban put in that drink? I mean, I don't know what Laban had him drink before he went to bed, but surely he could have told the difference between Leah and Rachel. Now, we all know Leah was not a looker. That's what the Bible says. I'm not being ugly. That's what the Bible says. She was slant of eye. In other words, I don't know if that means she was cross-eyed. I mean, I don't know. Don't y'all get mad at me. I didn't write it. I wasn't ugly about Leah. God told us. Hello. But now he comes out and he said, you deceived me. Because he was a deceiver himself. But you deceived me. And he said, all right, you got to serve me 7 more years for Rachel. I'm telling you, this must have been some kind of woman. That's 14 years. He said, you got to serve me 7 more years. Well, he went ahead and gave him Rachel, but he served 7 more years. So the time comes when his service is up. So what does he do? He goes to Laban. And all that time, now listen to this, all that time God was blessing Laban because of Jacob. Why? There was something up on Jacob. That's the presence of God up on Jacob. So while he's there, Laban is being blessed because of Jacob's presence. But it wasn't Jacob's presence that was bringing the blessing, it was God's presence. And so what happens is now Jacob is ready to leave. So he goes to Laban and he says, give me all of my cattle, give me all of my herds of goat, give me all my sheep, and we're going to leave. And I have time to go into the streets. Y'all have heard that. You know what happened there. But here's the deal. Here's the statement that I want you to hear. Here's the statement that I want you to take hold of, because when Jacob left, the sons of Laban made this statement. The sons of Laban said, Jacob, listen to this now. Y'all know it. He said, Jacob is taking all of our father's glory. Taking all of our father's glory. What did he take? He took cattle. He took sheep. He took goats. What did he take? He took provision. So what did they see that glory as? They saw that glory as provision. Church, can let me tell you something right now. No matter what goes on in the world, no matter how dark it gets, and no matter what happens in the world, a believer will have provision. Amen. We got provision. Amen. Even when look like it, we got provision. Even done when it doesn't look like things are going to change. Wait a minute. I'm not moved by that. Devil, you can't pull that on me again, because there's something up on me. And what's up on me is I've always got provision for what God calls me to do. Can you say amen? Amen. Especially, now listen to this, especially if you're a tither and an offering giver. If you're not a tither and an offering giver, then bring it on over into the new covenant. If you're not a tither and an offering giver, then you're not going, you may have some need met. You may walk in some similar blessing because you worship him and so forth, but you will not stand in the provision of God the way you, God wants you to be provided for. You got to be a tither and an offering giver. There's no question about it. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, our tither. Say, I'm a tither. Boy, y'all didn't get real loud, excited about that one. Look back and say, I am a tither. So therefore, I am blessed. Glory to God. I'm not only blessed because the glory of the Lord is upon me and his presence with me. I'm not only blessed because the glory of the Lord is upon me and his provision is mine. I'm blessed because I'm a tither and an offering giver. So therefore, my money is going to last throughout the whole month. When my wife and I got saved, we couldn't pay attention. We were so broke. I mean, if Pastor Carl, if I could have just got up to broke, I'd have been happy. If somebody, you knew us back when we all were going through that. I mean, we were broke. I mean, we were bad. We were way below broke. But we started giving. And we started giving. And we started giving. And we started giving. And God supernaturally blessed us. I mean, supernaturally blessed us and brought us out of all of that indebtedness and everywhere we went. And I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, it looks like I don't have enough money to last for the whole month. In other words, we had more month than we did money. Anybody else ever resemble that remark? We had more month than we did money. And I reminded him, God, I don't have a garden. I don't have a field out there that you can bless my garden and you can do all that and cause my vine not to cast its fruit before it's time. I ain't got no vine, all right? Don't want no vine, you know? And if I did have a vine, mine would probably die because I can't plant nothing. And so I said, God, I ain't got no vine. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you're a tithe and an offering giver, I will stretch your money. Your money will last a whole month. Man, when I got that, my wife and I weren't concerned a single another moment concerning what took place. Why? I didn't relate it to this, but the provision is up on us, Pastor Davies. And the provision is upon every member of this church. And so therefore the provision is upon this house. Amen. God's provision. Amen. Not man's provision. God's provision. Whatever vision y'all have, whatever vision you have to go feed the people in Mesabit, whatever vision you have to dig wells, whatever vision you have to educate children, listen, it don't matter how big it is. It's big, it's big, it's big. It don't matter how big it is. Why? There's something up on you. There's something up on you, and it's called the provision of God. Can you say amen? And now the last, everybody say, the glory of God is my provision. Now let's talk about promotion for just a moment. Promotion. And I believe many of you are going to be promoted before this year is out. I believe it from the bottom of my heart. In prayer this morning, I just felt that rise up in my spirit. I believe many of you are going to experience some kind of promotion before this year is out. Hallelujah. How many can receive that? How many can say, that's mine? Say, I will experience promotion. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, we know the story, too. Genesis chapter 45. We know what happened. We know that, look up, Edmondson, how many know Joseph had a dream? Joseph told his mom and dad his dream, and y'all know the story, told his brothers his dream, and what the dream was that his mom and dad and his brothers were all going to bow down before Joseph. I mean, he's a little kid, and he's telling them, y'all are all going to bow down before me. Well, they didn't like it. I mean, daddy didn't even like it. And all his brothers didn't like it. So y'all know what happened. He had a coat of many colors. And so here he comes, and he's sending Jacob sends him out to go check on his brothers. And his brothers say, here comes that dreamer right now. Let's take care of it today. And so the dreamer come. Y'all know what they do. They threw him in the pit. And then what they do? They sold him to Potiphar. And so now when he gets to Potiphar's house, how many of you know there was something up on Joseph that they didn't know was on him? So when he gets to Potiphar's house, what happens? He's just automatically promoted. He's promoted to be the head steward at Potiphar's house. He's promoted. Joseph didn't do it. It was something that was what? Come on, say it, up on him. Say it was up on him. Say it was up on him. Hallelujah. So it was up on him, and he gets promoted. Well, we all know he was promoted to such a high level that that Potiphar's wife wanted him. But Joseph had enough sense to run. You know, some of you might need to run from some other people. Hallelujah. You got to run from them. Don't mess around with them. Don't give them the time of day. Hallelujah. And we know what happened. He gets into prison. Next thing you know, he's running the prison. And then he interprets a dream. And the next thing you know, what is he doing? He is running Egypt. He's next to the Pharaoh of Egypt. And then all of a sudden, the famine hits. You know the story. And then his brothers and all show up in Egypt because there's no food in Israel. And Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Y'all know that, right? When he revealed himself to his brothers, this is a statement that he made in Genesis chapter 45. He said, go tell my dad about my glory. What was his glory? His glory was that wherever he went, he had been promoted. And now he was promoted to the top position that he could be promoted to. Listen, I don't know who is going to tell who, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but I believe it from the bottom of my heart that there's promotion sitting here this morning. If you'll take hold of the fact that in the darkness that we're living in right now, if you'll take hold of the fact that in the gross darkness that's covering people right now, that there's something up on you. There's presence on you. There's provision on you. And there's promotion on you. And you're going to walk in it, and you're going to watch what God does. My last scripture. Can I give one more scripture? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 24. Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. This is verse 24. Colossians 1, verse 24. Verse 25. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Look at verse 27. To them God willed, look at this, to them God willed to make known. He wants to make known the riches. He wants to make known the mystery. So what is the mystery? What are the riches of the glory of what? Of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, read it with me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read it again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Read it this way. Christ in me.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory.
Glory
to God. Now, we just saw that glory, as far as God is concerned, is presence. We just saw glory, as far as God is concerned, is provision. We just saw glory, as far as God is concerned, is promotion. But now we're seeing in the new covenant that that glory is on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And there's an expectation. Christ in me is the expectation. That's what the word hope means. Christ in me is the expectation of what? Of the glory of God. I know I'm born again. I don't have a shadow of a doubt about it. I know I'm born again. How many of you know you're born again? I mean, you know you're going to heaven if this life is over right now. You're going to heaven because Jesus is your Lord. Well, guess what? If you know you're going to go to heaven and your spirit bears witness with his spirit and his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you can cry, Abba, Father, you got to know today that there's an expectation on the inside of you and there's an expectation of his presence. There's an expectation of his provision and there's an expectation of his promotion inside of you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Glory to God.